It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, hour number two. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, upstairs on our 19th hole clubhouse studios, where we have our 19th hole ice pick on the tee, Florida, each and every Thursday from 5 to 7. We talk the great world of golf, but today, of course, is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, where we talk everything from the peewees to the preps to the pros in a positive perspective, and it couldn't be any more positive in this conversation we're having with Kip Engel and his history with the Yankees and the Cardinals, and how he got involved in sport, and his background coming from Peoria, and it's right up in baseball Botham's alley, because they're both collectors. And how many years have you been in the collecting world?
This is a little scary. I've been in this world since as a child. My mother was from Chicago and a big Cub fan. Oh boy, Mom.
My daughter lives in Wrigleyville.
How about that? So good. So Mom would take me up there to get autographs in Chicago and to go to Marshall Fields. Dad, a Cardinal fan from Southern Illinois, would take me down to the ballpark in St. Louis.
Split family.
And we were always sneaking around, getting autographs, fans of that. And so I had a little illness when I was 8 years old. Mom bought me a whole box of 1968 tops. Wow. And I was able to sit there and rip those nickel packs. So all the way.
I bet there was a Bob Gibson or a Mickey Lowitz in there.
Oh, I could only hope.
Danny McLean.
Yeah, those Tigers there, we're talking 68.
Exactly.
And of course, they ruined my childhood that year. And Brian, as Lou Brock, unfortunately, didn't slide into home plate in game four. And the great work of Bob Gibson in number one was upended in game seven by Mickey Lolich and his three wins, and Curt Flood, a little stumble on a ball to center field. Memorable times in my youth.
That's a photographic memory, but you remember things in your youth sometimes that better than what you did a half an hour ago, right?
This is true. Very much so. That's why my wife brought me here today.
She drove.
She had to drive. Absolutely.
Well, I know you've got prior commitments. You got to pick somebody up over. Are you going to St. Pete or are you going over to Tampa?
We're going over to Tampa and pick up some folks at the airport.
Yeah, well, I delivered my 84-year-old mother there on Thursday morning and pick her up tomorrow. She toughed it out and went to sent a nurse with her to my niece's wedding in Philly. She was ecstatic, but that drive won't be bad today.
But a wonderful time talking baseball with Baseball Ben and you, Mike, certainly, and your days. I can't wait to sometime. If you want to have me back, we'll talk that Cardinal-Cub rivalry.
We're going to have you back because that, you know, and when you throw Harry Carey into that mix, it's really interesting. And I remember sitting in a Catholic school in 1968. The nuns would let us listen on transistor radio to the World Series. I hearken for those days, too. I suppose you'd be one of those teachers.
Yeah,
hey, kids, guess what we're doing today? We're not doing history. Turn on your transistors, and I'm going to teach you the game of baseball.
Hey, I might let that one slide.
Thank you, Kip. Have a great one.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear. Yeah, thanks for bringing him down and guiding him upstairs. Anyway,
we got to get him on more often here, Mike. We were talking a little bit of collecting before we got back on the air, and we found out we had a common friend and Uncle Dick, one of the collectors who sets up shop at most of the card shows here in the local area. And boy, does he have some stories to tell too. I might try and get him on the radio one of these days.
You need to get him on the radio one of these days. He's in his 80s.
He's still out there, still doing it. He helped me put together nearly all of my 1953 top set. He bought so many cards from him, and not only that, he's got stories to tell. He got to meet Hank Aaron and bought his season tickets from him, and all kinds of great stuff. He did signings with Hank Aaron because he was based in the Atlanta area.
Gotcha.
And, you know, got to meet all these guys. And one of the stories he tells is about setting up a signing with Hank Aaron and not selling enough tickets to meet him and get autographs. So he had to meet up with Hank later the next day at the stadium, pay him for the rest of the autographs, and have a few more things signed. While he was there, he was asking, you know, is there any season tickets available for this coming year? And Hank invites him in, brings him in, lays out the floor plan, and he saw one of the spots, a great spot down. I believe he said it was the first baseline.
This is the old Fulton County Stadium.
Oh, yeah, the old Fulton County Stadium. One of the spots, the name on it was erased, and I think he said it said like Pizza Hut or something on it. You know, what a corporate ticket that they would give out to people, and that was erased. And he said, I want my seat right there. And he's like, no, we gotta take you around, take a look, experience the seat. And he's like, I'm not leaving right here until my name's down on that spot. So he's got some good stories about a lot of the old guys, and he can definitely talk collecting to you.
Well, let's get him on the air as well. Of course, we're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily. And I was going to take poor Brad Richardson there yesterday, but had a little under the weather. Body Armor Coca-Cola Beverages, of course, supporting all of our high school sports. We had 2 weeks. Geez, the time flies. 2 weeks ago today was our Pinellas County Media Day down here from 10 to 3, and we had 20 teams, and it was just a wonderful day. Everybody embraced it, and Brad and I will talk about that a little bit later on. But let's go back to the Rays and have a little more optimism after hearing somebody that knows a little bit about success under duress, I guess you could say it, with Whitey Herzog. And I got to meet Whitey in Des Moines. He was a great guy. But with Kip's input, can you give me a little positive perspective here?
Well, when a guy learns from Billy Martin and Yogi Berra, it does kind of put me in my place a little bit.
Dad,
I will say that
hanging out in the steam room with Billy Martin, and you're questioning his optimism,
giving him coaching advice. so I might have to retire the mic after today on that one.
Well, yeah, you know, youngster. Occasionally, wisdom and time on the planet does outweigh intelligence and brashness of the younger generation.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that for myself.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I am nervous. I am nervous. It's hard not to be when you lose McClanahan, who was probably the best pitcher in baseball the first part of the season. You know, he was started 11-1. He was doing amazing, and now he's gone. And we have a lot of guys who are out. I mean, Tyler Glasnow, Zach Eflin, those guys are going to be
major arms that are going to be needed. As we sit here, just two games back, if we can win this series, that's the first series we'd lost quite some time against the Cardinals. And I actually felt good about that series, didn't you?
I thought we were going to come out swinging on that one. I thought it was going to be great, but what are you going to do? That's baseball.
Well, and last night, you know, the Guindians, as I like to call them, and you have ties to Cleveland. I thought that we would probably sweep them, and we're up 8-5, and I'm thinking, you know, got this game, you know, top of the ninth, we got this game well in hand. Mm-hmm. The Indians were not the Indians.
Guardians.
The Guardians. I better just go and start getting myself programmed. Guardians.
Just call them Cleveland.
Cleveland. Yeah, the no name. Cleveland. Anyway, and then I'm watching that debacle, and I start turning into a Ben Botham and getting nervous.
Yeah, I mean, the Rays are definitely, I don't have a doubt that we'll make it to the postseason. I'm pretty content.
We're at 70 wins now.
Yeah, I'm pretty content that we're going
to. It will have to be another July for that to happen.
Yeah, so I feel confident about that. What I'm not confident about is how far we're going to go into the postseason without that extra guy in our pitching rotation. The Rays are going to need to fill an extra spot in their rotation. You know, they could bring back the rookie right-hander Taj Bradley.
That will happen.
It definitely will. I'm not a huge fan of him, but maybe he steps up in the postseason and changes it, you know, a little bit. Or they can mix in, you know, some openers doing bullpen days a lot. You can use some guys, try and get a little more traditional bulk innings from guys like Josh Fleming, or they have a AAA righty, Cooper Criswell, that they could rely on. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back after this, because it's just unbelievable that a team like ours, last season you have 20 guys on the IL, And now we lose, what, four of our starting pitchers?
You know what, though? This is happening around the league. And yeah. I was listening to a conversation the other day. It was kind of a round table. And being a pitcher yourself, you can agree. There's just too many pitches. They're trying to perfect too many pitches. They're starting these youngsters at too young of an age, unfortunately. It's not getting through to these youth coaches' heads. You know, we're watching the World Series, the Little League World Series this week, and I'm looking at some of these kids and the pitches they're throwing. They're destined for injury based on the demands they're making on the human body, the arm. Don't you agree?
No, I agree. I mean,
that's the change in the old days.
But these guys, they're not throwing as many pitches in a game.
They want to throw everyone 98 and plus. That's their goal. That's the problem.
They're throwing hard. I think the training and the way that they go about getting these guys to these higher speeds is completely backwards.
Exactly.
I think
they care about is that gun.
I think that the systems that they use, like drive line, these weighted balls, these things are hurting more players than anything. I'm not saying a weighted ball is necessarily bad, but you have kids throwing a ball that's twice the weight of a baseball as hard as they can into a net, and they're throw hopping and throwing it, and they're like, look how hard I got it on the gun. No, you're an idiot. The people who buy into that stuff are some of the dumbest people. I don't get it. I think
coaches that are promoting it.
I think it's one of the most detrimental things to these young guys' arms, and I just can't get behind it. And the thing is, it's so specialized for a specific style of motion, for a specific arm slot, that when kids have any kind of variation of that, it's not going to help them. If a guy's a little bit three quarters and he's doing all these exercises with these weighted balls, it's going to hurt him. If a guy's like me, who was a submarine thrower, it's completely backwards to do that.
Let me ask you that: as a submariner, is that easier on your arm and your shoulder?
On the arm, yeah, because that's the natural motion of the arm.
The softball motion with the girls, the fast pitch.
Yeah, the girls can pitch forever. Like it's kinesiology, the motion of the body.
Eddie Fainer.
Yeah, and you can. That's when you walk. What do? Your arms go back and forth when you walk. That's the natural.
Do you know who Eddie Fainer is? The king in his court.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The fast pitch softball phenom.
Yeah, I was
whose thinking, ashes are over here across the street. Really? Were you thinking of a guitar player?
No, I was thinking of the guy from the Dodgers. He's a big kinesiology guy. I forgot what somebody used to say, but they said like it wouldn't be a day at Dodger Stadium if you didn't see whoever it was pitching. He's more a doctor kind of guy now, but the real toll that your body takes on a submarine pitcher is going to be in your back and in your knees.
Gotcha.
And that's not great, but we have seen with our guys, we have the young right-hander Shane Baz. He had Tommy John surgery last September, won't pitch this season. Left-hander Jeffrey Springs had Tommy John, and the righty Drew Rasmussen.
We were expecting some big things out of him.
He had elbow surgery. So all these guys are down, and even Fleming has been sidelined since June 3rd with an elbow inflammation.
Now, are we getting Fleming back?
I hope so. I don't think we'll get him back, you know, this week or next, but it's very concerning to me, and I don't know. Maybe it's not on the trainer at this point. Maybe it's on the pitching coach. Maybe he's having these guys do...
Or their development, and that was one of the topics. Too. Hey, we're brought to you by our good friends at Shrimpy's as well. In fact, right now, they have happy hour 3 to 5, Monday through Friday, 50% off all drinks. And that includes the drafts, domestic bottles, house wine, well liquor. And then, of course, they've got lunches now, 11 to 3, Wednesday through Friday, and then brunch on Saturday and Sunday, and that's 10 to 3. And then I think you've been over there before. They have the $8 apps on those chicken sliders.
Oh, yeah, those things
are good. You love those sliders. Those are excellent. And then they got a $17 early bird specials on shrimp and grits. Now, I am not a seafood guy. Are you?
I like crab. I don't really like fish that much, but...
Shrimp and grits.
People love the shrimp and grits.
Jambalaya. And chicken Alfredo.
I do like some chicken Alfredo.
Well, you're Italian. They're half Italian.
Manja, manja.
Exactly. So anyway, he's going to be having all Buffalo Bill watch parties. And we know he's that John is a graduate of the University of Georgia.
How about them dogs?
Exactly. Well, you as well, jumping on the bandwagon. Now, preseason ranked number one, you know.
I'd believe it. I mean, who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat him, Mike?
It's going to be an interesting year. And we're going to be launching another show called Big Monday. And that's going to be a Big Ten show, folks. And that will be with Oscar Garner III and Alex Reba. Alex graduated from Penn State University as a Nittany Lion over the top. And, of course, the Big O graduated from Michigan State Business School. And they will be hosting that. And that will be live at Sea Dogs on Monday, Big Monday. Looking forward to that.
What do you think, Mike, though, about some of these conferences all you know, changing up the teams and the conference.
The landscape.
Around.
You're a historian. Mm-hmm. I love history. This will go down as one of the darkest days in the purity of collegiate competition in sport. Yeah. And I think that's the simplest way I can say it. It started with and the people to blame are the NCAA. From the NIL perspective, mm-hmm. For being so greedy and opening up this can of worms. They should have just, paid the athletes. We've discussed that many times, and it's discussed all over America on the airwaves. That certainly is something that started this ball rolling, and then the greed of television, and then and you can say the greed of the athletic directors, the presidents of the college, but you're going to get mowed over if you don't get on board.
Yeah, I don't really even see the use for the NCAA at this point.
They bear no weight anymore.
Yes,
as they used to.
If a school can just willy-nilly leave conferences and join other ones, just make an East and a West and have the best schools, the Georgias, Alabama.
It's going to be an NFL model down the road. I do see this potentially happening, and I've discussed it with a couple of guys in the know. It's the secondary sports that I'm concerned about.
Yes.
You're looking at the travel. Let's just use the Big Ten as an example. You know, just added Oregon, Washington, and then they got UCLA and USC. Well, you know, back in the day, I'm talking at 20s, they used to take trains. UCLA would play Iowa or Notre Dame. So there was a lot of cross-country travel, and that's really diving deep into it. So there's been that cross-country in the sport of football. Football's once a week.
Yeah,
but you've got the other sports. But the majority of the sports have multiple games in a given week.
I mean, baseball.
The travel is going to
three game series.
Yeah, the travel is going to absolutely be a nightmare for them to manage. So I think they're going to keep that regionally. The other sports will have to stay, you know, in the East, the Midwest, and the West to monitor that with some travel dates lined up. But they're not taking into consideration. I think we'll have a Title IX moment down the road. Where all the other sports go, whoa, whoa, whoa. We know you guys are writing all the big checks, but you're basically, you know, we are really the redheaded stepchild these days. And even March Madness will be taking a step backwards in some capacity, because it's not going to have the good old days of having, 64 teams and the various conferences. We'll see what takes place there, but that's the interesting thing.
Yeah, I did see some of that came out of this. People have been trying to rank the top football or top college football tailgating schools. Now, Mike, do you have any guess?
Ohio State's in the top five.
Not on this list, Mike. We have Ohio State is a tier three school.
No way.
They have I'll give you the tier one, the top ones that they have.
They're all people in the South because a bunch of alcoholics.
It's Ole Miss. They have LSU, Penn State, Auburn.
Tennessee.
And I believe the Gamecocks.
South Carolina?
Yeah.
Where's my Fighting Irish?
Your Fighting Irish. Let's see where they're at. I think they're, Mike. Looks like they're a tier four with my Georgia Southern Eagles.
Notre Dame's down there with Georgia Southern Eagles?
Mike, you ain't never been to a Georgia Southern tailgate.
Well, I never will. That's embarrassing.
Hey, that's how they're ranking you guys. Apparently, it's been falling off.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk high school sports with Brad Richardson. He is our Prep Connection guru. We'll be back, brought to you by Body Armor, and that's bothering me. We got to talk a little bit more about that before we wind the show down. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Notre Dame, not even in the top three tiers of tailgating. They haven't been there. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Her Hurricane Ian wreaked havoc across the state of Florida, leaving many Floridians asking where to go for information on their insurance claims. Times are stressful and the uncertainty is as well. Ask an Adjuster is here to guide you through the process and make certain you maximize your insurance claim. Fred Martinez and Roger Warren are private adjusters that work for you. They are not the insurance company. Their motto is inspect, advise, collect. The inspection and claim review are free. That's how confident Ask an Adjuster is. Fred and Roger have worked together for years and recovered $50 million for the clients on top of what the insurance company wanted to pay. Handling your own claim without a Florida public adjuster is like going to court without an attorney. You can do it, but a sizable disadvantage without the knowledge of the rules and procedures. Give Fred and Roger a call today at 321-961-3380 for your free inspection and claim review. That's 321-961-3380. Go to askanadjuster.com for more information and ease the stress of this challenging time.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Super Saturday, August 12th. We're down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I've got... as I like to call them, my stream team. And that's Brad Richardson, who covers all the prep stuff for us, the play-by-play. Did a superb job of hosting the Pinellas County Media Day 2 weeks ago down here. And then, of course, baseball, Ben Botham. Both of them Seminole graduates. I need to – I was kind of all over Boca Ciega, but I need to embrace and become an unofficial Warhawk. I need some Warhawk gear. Don't you think I'm gonna have to get some Warhawk gear?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have Warhawk gear that goes all the way back to when I was in high school. So that was when
was that 1800?
Exactly. And hey, it was a great time.
Don't even go there, pal.
It was a great.
I hearken to be. He just had a birthday recently.
He certainly did. Yeah.
I'm still waiting on that beer, Benny.
Yeah. But you can go downstairs and have as many as you want after this.
It's on his tab, right?
Yep. No, it'll be on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connections tab before the Guardian people come into town. Of course, we're brought to you by Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverage, the U.S. Marines, and our prep side of things. And again, I applaud you for doing your homework and doing a superb job. And now it's game time. And one of the big issues, as I've discovered watching the media and you've researched talking to coaches, is and it's impacting everybody, is the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this goes back to Pee Wee days. I mean, the one thing they've always said is keep hydrated, drink a lot of water, and just don't use a lot of Gatorade. But the whole thing now is the heat. The humidity in Florida is absolute.
Don't use Gatorade. Use Body Armor.
Yeah, Body Armor. Exactly. Oops. Sorry about that. But anyway, Body Armor is supposed to help, but Gatorade's negative. Remember that. But anyway, my point being is that, yeah, it's just been the heat. I mean, it's just way too high. Those kids out there, they're feeling the effects. I mean, this is only August. Okay. It's not going to dip off yet. I mean, you all have all of September to go. It's just absolutely brutal to these kids.
Do we have any games? Is it this weekend? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Everything starts Friday. August 18th is opening day for a lot of teams. late. Actually, there's only two teams that aren't going to be opening this week. Pinellas Park and Largo aren't going to be open to opening their seasons up till August 25th. And then Lakewood versus Northeast doesn't happen till August 25th. So,
all right.
Yeah. So there's most of the teams in Pinellas County are going to be starting this week. And then I guess Corey Moore wanted to have an extra week to get his guys ready for the season. So
I had a little lunch with Sean Davis, the head coach of the Northeast Vikings. Nice lunch. We talked for about an hour about our media day, and he applauded the job you did and we put together, and looking forward to expanding it. But then he started talking about, you know, the world of transfer in the high school world. Yes. And I said, you know, that's just a topic, and I know you guys have dealt with it in baseball, but I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. But it's a fact of life now, and these coaches just have to deal with it. That's one thing that coaches have to be concerned about these days. And then the other thing is setting their own schedules. And he was telling me after he had his first year, he was an assistant at St. Pete High, came over and took over the Vikings program. Then 2 years, he was undefeated, remember?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then he said the next year, he was a little naive. He's trying to set a schedule, and no people can just turn you down.
Yeah, that no teams wanted to play him, yeah. I mean, it's a cause and effect with everything. I mean, you look at Lakewood. I mean, Lakewood, they have a stacked schedule with all these other teams across the state of Florida. But when you have all these other teams in Pinellas County that want to play him, they're like, hey, we're too scared. I mean, it's just going to be a quick game, done and over with after pretty much that first half of the game. You know, you get through two quarters, go into the third, and it's going to be a mercy roll. So the question is, you know, why do we play him? I mean, if we're this lower level team, why do we play him? Lakewood, they play competitive teams all over the state. So with every team, it all depends on the outcome.
Don't they start out with Miami Central?
Who, Lakewood?
Yeah.
No, Palmetto.
Palmetto, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Palmetto High School they start out with. So Palmetto, I mean, God, last season, I mean, they were high up. I mean, they were a tough team in the state of Florida.
Well, you take this segment. What do you got going on there? What you've done some research.
So anyway, I mean, just to give you an idea of what teams will start off this week, I mean, Northeast will open up their season with Countryside, pretty level, you know, teams in all terms
we
of
have both of them down here.
Yeah. So now the big thing, of course, is it's going to be a new dynasty for these two teams. You have Bogey will be opening up with Myra Dillard as their new head coach, of course.
He's like a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just meeting him on that Saturday.
He used to be on his staff over at St. Pete. I didn't realize that, St. Pete High. That.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming back. He's coming back to his alma mater and all. But Bogey will be open up with Palm Harbor. And then you have, of course, Northside Christian. You have Bailey Grainer that's starting. Northside will be...
That's a new era, too.
Yeah,
Mike Westcott moving on.
Absolutely. And they'll be open up against the St. Pete Green Devils. Eastlake's going to be traveling to Zephyr Hills for their season and all. And that's going to be an interesting game. I'll say that much. Osceola, this is going to be a level game for them. They're going to be...
You guys' favorite teams? Osceola?
Not exactly, but it's going to be an interesting start for them. They're going to be playing Alonzo High School. Now, these teams last season both had equal records. Osceola had a record last year of 7-4. Alonzo was 7-3. So it's going to be pretty level for these guys. Largo will be traveling to Calvary Christian. That's going to be an interesting game. Watching Calvary with Reggie Kroom and also with Marcus. Marcus Paschel. To watch these two go at it, it's going to be
former University of Iowa Hawkeye.
Oh, yes, yes.
Had to get that in.
Yeah. CCC will be on the road.
All Big Ten.
CCC is going to be on the road to one school I've really never heard of is North Marion. They're out of Citra, Florida. So they're
where's Citra, Florida at?
That's a great question. So
get the map out. Come on, Ben.
Citra.
Come on. You're a history.
Google Maps.
You're a history teacher now. You're geography.
Now, we all remember Clearwater International Academy, right?
That was amazing.
Yeah,
you know what I said last week? I just could not believe that as we looked down to our left,
yeah.
What were the schools? University of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Pitt.
Yep.
Notre Dame and the Miami Hurricanes.
I mean, just the stack.
That's four out of the five guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Four out of the five that were there. And
Canadians.
But they're going to open their season against Palmetto. That's going to be on September 1st. And then after that, of course, Palmetto will be over at Lakewood. So that'll be an interesting.
Palmetto, is that strong?
Yeah. They're that strong of a team.
I mean, those are two dynamic programs they're taking on.
Absolutely. I mean, we've already, you know, I know they probably hear this, but to compare Clearwater International to, say, IMG Academy, I mean, IMG Academy is over in Hillsboro, and we've got in Pinellas Clearwater International. So things are kind of leveling out there. So we'll see. And then, of course, now.
IMG's in Bradenton.
I'm Bradenton. Yeah.
No problem.
Sorry about that. And, of course, now, of course, I have to mention them because I will be back in the booth. If everyone's hearing this right now, I will be back in Warhawk Stadium in that booth. Confirmed yesterday.
How many years now?
Oh God, that was the Miller era. Maybe about 6 years, something like that. So it was a long, long time.
You're a veteran, my man.
Oh yeah. Waiting for them to name that booth after me. But anyway, no, Seminole will start off their season against Kathleen High School, the Red Devils. They're out of Lakeland. Last season, the Red Devils were 2-8. We all know that last season, Augie was right in the middle of more or less beginning his era at Seminole. And he had a good start. He had a great start. He had a great start and all. And this game coming up on Friday, 2-8, it's very level with the guys that he's going to be facing with Lakeland, with Kathleen High School. It'll be a level game, and this will be the chance to see now Augie Sanchez forming his own team following having the players with Coach Miller. So I think that this will be an interesting start. Now this is now his reign. This is his time, and we'll see what happens. So,
and there's some good kids on that Seminole team. I got a couple in my classroom, so I'll be making sure they do well for us, Brad.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Friday's coming up, so we'll get a chance to see that. So
everybody, when they're an athlete, they always want to find out which classes the coaches are coaching in.
Yeah, they're gonna be brown nosing to old Mr. Benny Botham, baseball Benny Botham, and now bowling Benny Botham.
When does bowling practice start?
Bowling starts. We have our preseason game this Thursday. We will be at Seminole Lanes, rolling there.
He's getting the terminology.
Rolling.
He's getting
them bum rolling.
Doggy's rolling. That's old school. That's Rawhide. Anyway, that was Clint Eastwood's start. Anyway, you got preseason?
We have a preseason game.
Oh, look at that.
You got to make cuts?
I will have to make cuts for the women's team, 100%.
Oh, man.
I need to say
they just got
to
make sure that they go and throw the ball correctly.
You know this, that if you get cut from the bowling team,
well,
you got to be optimistic, these poor people, because that could be devastating for the rest of their life.
Well, Mike,
I got cut from the bowling team.
Mike, I got like 15.
The first year of the bowling team.
I have 15 girls trying to sign up. I can only bowl 5 at a time.
Rotate them.
Rotate.
Come on. Five play one. What do you start? 5?
You play 5.
You play five. Well, you're a new program. First, you call them matches, right?
Matches.
Yeah.
First match. Go with 5. The next match.
Well, it's
let them play.
No, it's one match every week. That's it. So you get 5 girls, 5 boys. After that one, you're done, and then you move on to the next week. So
I know.
I have to
let the next shift of people play the next week.
I'm trying to win districts, Mike.
Out to prove something. Out to prove something.
Bowling Ben Botham. I just gave you a great idea, make everybody happy, but no, I'm out to win.
That's all it
district.
Is. It's not about the kids now. It sounds like it's all about
dominator.
No, the kids want to win districts too. They want to bring home that district championship trophy.
And guess who wants to lift it up?
The first year lifted
up. Come on, Benny.
Yeah, we'll be out there for a live ceremony. You're hoisting the bully championship, district championship over your head.
FHSAA. It's not about, the bowling team. It's about, bowling Ben Botham. I'm holding that trophy up. That's all it is.
Ben probably can't. Can you break 100?
Oh, I'm a decent bowler.
Oh, are you really?
Oh,
yeah.
Decent.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
I probably average right around like a, I don't know, 160, 170.
Yeah, I'm horrible.
Yeah, I'm not great. Like 170 is not great.
You need to find yourself a, what do they call them, ace? You need
I need a ringer.
A ringer, not a stick. Not a stick. It's not a thrower. You need to find somebody that knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple kids.
I'm talking about assistant coaches.
Oh, assistant coaches.
Look for a guy that's got a cig in his hand. He's got that huge beer belly. And he's sitting there watching you guys practice. Say, hey, what are you doing?
But here's the thing.
Or get some tips from him.
But here's the thing. We've already talked about coldies. It's all about Ben Botham. So to have another coach come in and actually bowl and actually have a higher score than Ben.
Oh, no. He'd still get all the accolades because he's on the staff.
Yeah. I'm the mastermind behind the
mastermind. Yeah, he's surrounding himself the right guys. One guy drinks Jack Daniels. The other guy drinks Busch Light. And here they are working with the kids. Yeah, but we're winning. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
Parents are furious at you. Look at our record.
And then there's going to be a mutiny to get Ben out of there. So,
oh, absolutely not. As soon as we the bowling team.
There you go. Plural there, Benny.
As soon as we the bowling team bring home the district championship, I'm locking that down.
You heard it right here.
We're gonna create.
It's on the record now.
You're one of the program that the rookie coach and knows very little about this sport brings home the iron, and it'll probably be in the front page of the Tampa Bay sports page in the Sunday. I'd probably do a background on your ascent to being a dominant coach.
Yeah, don't dig too deep. They'll see my Florida State records here.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk a little more high school. Then we're gonna take a trip to in the past. We're gonna talk to former Blake High School, Blake Middleton, and Florida State, an NFL great. And that, of course, is Eddie McMillan. I'm looking forward to that conversation. Defensive back, good friend of Barry Smith's. And we're going to have Chris Griffin join the conversation. He's been on several times.
I mean, yeah, this season is going to be very interesting to watch with every team in Pinellas County. I mean, let's just go back a little bit, you know, talking about Calvary Christian. They're going to have to keep Calvary Christian plus Clearwater Central Catholic. They're going to have to keep an eye out for Berkeley Prep. You know, we talked about Berkeley Prep just in the media day and all. And even though, you know, those coaches didn't want to look ahead, they were, you know, you could just tell whenever you mentioned Berkeley Prep around these players, they got nervous. I mean, we talked about Calvary beating them in the season. Okay. And then when we went into the playoffs, they came back and Berkeley just crushed them. So, I mean, the tables turned on that. It was a very, very interesting thing. Obviously with Lakewood, this is going to be interesting. We already talked about Palmetto, but here's the other teams they're going to be playing: Homestead, Edison, Southridge, and the one that many teams keep talking about, even CCC, Clearwater Central Catholic, Chaminade Madonna. I mean, this team, you hear the name, it's fear. That's all it is fear. So that's going to be interesting to see how these guys face up against all these other teams in the county. So,
well, speaking of fear, this gentleman put a lot of fear in wide receivers, tight ends, backs out of the backfield for many years. He's Blake, of course, Yellow Jacket. It's what you said, Ben, right? He's the Yellow Jackets across the pond from us in Tampa Bay, and a very successful career with the Florida State Seminoles. And then he moved on into the NFL, playing with the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Buffalo Bills. And he's kind enough to take time to join us. He's a busy man these days. Eddie McMillan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing down in the Sunshine State?
We're great. I thought about you last night. I was watching the Seattle Seahawks on television, and I thought about you out there. How many years have you been out there?
Oh, God. I got out here when the team initially started back in 1976. I was fortunate enough to be traded from the Rams to the Seahawks, and actually I was their first captain. And, of course, I played here for a few years, and then I was traded to Buffalo, where I actually ended my career and I moved back to the greater Seattle area. So actually, I've been out here since 1976.
Wow. I bet that was a little bit of culture shock growing up in Tampa. And then your final stop in Buffalo, New York. Had you seen much snow in your lifetime? Kind of like Barry when Barry went from growing up in Miami to Florida State, and then the Green Bay picked him in the first round. You guys similar paths. Yours was a little bit later in your career.
You talking about culture shock? That's an understatement. Now remember, I've always lived in a warm weather environment. So I lived in Florida, was drafted by the Rams, and of course I played with the Rams, and then I came to Seattle. Now when I moved to Seattle, it rained when I first moved here. It rained for 3 weeks straight. So I looked at my neighbor one day and I said, "How long is it going to rain here?" He said, "You're in for a big surprise." But I've become acclimated to the area. We have the four seasons, so actually I love it quite a bit. And I only live about 45 minutes away from a ski resort, even though I don't ski.
Well, let's go back all the way to high school days, because back in the day there was a great annual tradition, and wasn't that Blake and the Middleton high school game that was embraced by the entire area? And we're trying to get some energy back into that event here. I don't know if you knew that in the area, and get some rich tradition into those neighborhoods again.
Well, I think what has happened in terms of that particular rivalry, and I think integration was great, but also it had some pitfalls, and the pitfalls was it took the kids away from the neighborhoods. So by taking the kids away from the neighborhoods, they they disbanded Blink, in, I think, in 1972. And for 20 years, there wasn't any presence in the community. So I think that has a lot to do with it, because it's not a neighborhood school. Kids are bussed in. So they don't have the same community relationship that we had, because everybody in the community, whether it was Jackson Heights, Bellman Heights, where the Middleton kids went to school, or in West Tampa, Lincoln Garden, or Carver City, we had that community relationship. And I don't think that's what they have now, and I think that's the problem that they're encountering.
Well, you know, then you go up to Florida State, and man, we had JT Thomas on in the past with Barry, and we're actually going to surprise you and throw Chris Griffin on here, hopefully, during the conversation. But, you know, he's a Hillsboro High guy. But when you take a look at the defensive backs that you had on that team, even with JT on the other side, I bet you had some nice battles in practice against Barry Smith and the wide receiver corps.
Oh yeah, we were battling. Barry was one heck of a receiver, and it was very, very funny. We would go and we would play all of these schools, and they would have, you know, the black athletes, the outstanding cornerbacks, and you know, they were sort of kind of full of themselves, and I'd always tell them, and Barry would tell them, I would say, excuse me, this white boy is fast, and you cannot cover. And after the game, they would say, Eddie, you were right. This white boy is really fast. I said, yep, fastest white boy I ever met in my life.
Well, we've got him on now. Another fast white boy from Harrisboro High that was a tremendous track athlete. Still participates in his let's just say his not quite his golden years. And I'm proud to call him a friend now, Chris Griffin. He's come on many times to give me inside information from the legal perspective of NIL and all things collegiate football, and he's kind enough to join us. Hey, Chris, you might know the guy on the other side of the country on the line, Eddie McMillan. I thought this would be great. Barry Smith is in the middle of a little family brunch, so why not bring Chris Griffin and Eddie McMillan into the conversation? How you been, man?
I'm doing great, and it sure is good to hear your voice and to hear Eddie Mac's voice.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right, brother. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. What Rick and them probably don't know the story of when you guys first met us, and you guys went over to Coach Henderson, who was the defensive back coach at that time, and you said, Coach, could you tell us what we need to do to become great defensive backs? You remember what he told you guys? Go talk to JT and Eddie. They'll tell y'all what to do.
that's exact. Mike, I'm hearing a little echo. Are you hearing it on air?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good. Skyping. Good. Then we're fine.
We're Skyping, yeah, so there's a bit of delay. Where are you in Tampa? Are you mountain climbing or doing something challenging around the world like you like to take on?
No, I'm in Tampa, but I'm heading up to the woods of Maine in about 2 weeks to do my usual backpacking and camping. But I want to go back to the story that Eddie just told. 1972, which is when I went to Florida State, was the first year that the NCAA allowed freshmen to play varsity ball. And I was a scared, skinny 18-year-old kid, and we had some injuries in the secondary. So they moved me up from the freshman team to the varsity team. And as Eddie just said, Coach Henderson was walking me out to the practice field, given me a little quiz on whether I understood the defenses, and he was convinced that I did. And then he pointed to these two gentlemen standing under a tree in the shade between the practice field and says, I think you know what you're doing. He said, you know those two guys over there? And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, that's Eddie McMillan and James Thomas. Go talk to them, and they'll teach you how to play. And those two guys, along with our free safety, David Snell, took this little, like I said, skinny and scared 18-year-old kid and taught me how to be a defensive back. And and it made my career.
Coach kind of took his responsibilities and passed it on to you and JT. I'm sure you didn't mind that. Probably a little bit of a ribbing for those guys, though, at the same time when they came over to be your pupils.
No, not at all. You know, in football, there's a culture where you have to pass the information and knowledge on to the guys that's coming behind you. And that's what we did with Christendom, and they upheld the tradition. And we, JT and I, like to think that we started one heck of a tradition with the defensive backs and that have come out of Florida State, that have gone into the NFL and that has become successful. I was defensive rookie of the year, and JT went on to Pittsburgh to win 4 Super Bowl rings. So we consider that outstanding. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't give Florida State a shout-out, because during those particular times, it was a very, very difficult time in the country. And we were going through a renaissance period. And we were happy to be a part of that renaissance in terms of changing the nation and changing the culture. Because when we went to Florida State, we had ideas, and so did the white kids, of what black kids were and what white kids were. But what we actually found out is we had more in common than we didn't. Also, one of the things, and Chris can allude to this, is we quickly found out it didn't matter whether or not you were black or white. The coaches dogged everybody.
Yep. They treated us all the same. And, you know, it's funny that Eddie brings that up, because in recent years, I've reflected back on those years, and I've actually had some wonderful conversations with some of our teammates, like Charlie Hunt and John Murphy, who sadly passed away not too long ago, about I really wish that I had known then what I know now about the struggles that my African-American teammates had that I didn't have, because, you know, you're focused on football, you're focused on your academics, and it wasn't that I was oblivious to what was going on in the world around me, but I just wish I could have been a better teammate and a better supporter for my African-American teammates, who had an extra layer of challenge because of the conditions that Eddie just described. And if I have any regret from those years, it's that I attuned to that, did not.
Well, you know what, fellas, Eddie, I think you agree with this in the changing dynamic of America. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. You guys started at that level, but now here we are. I'm not going to say how many years down the road, but we're having a great conversation. You guys, two former teammates, Barry, I loved you like a brother too. I know that. So those memories and friendships last for a lifetime, and have overcome color in the world today. We need more lessons like that. I agree.
You know, and the thing that's so important to me, and the thing that I value the most, is after all of these years, we're all still friends, and we actually still talk to each other.
Yep.
You know, when I'm down in the Tampa area, you know, I get together with Chris and Barry, and we periodically talk to each other on the phone. So yeah, those bonds that we established going through all of the trials and tribulations that we did actually brought us all together. Also, here's something else, Rick, and you can sort of identify with this. I also was the first black to run track for Florida State.
What?
Yep.
They didn't allow black athletes to run track until then?
No. Remember, our class was really the first black class to go to Florida State and play football. So in when I wrote my letter of intent, because I had as many track scholarships as I did football. As a matter of fact, I won the National High School Hurdles Championship. In the Junior Olympics, we competed at Hayward Field, where they have the National AAU Olympics now. I was a national high school hurdles champion. I beat a guy by the name of Ronaldo Leomar, who went on to win the 1972 Olympics.
And played for the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, that's another story. He tried to play for the San Francisco 49ers.
That's true. Remember, he had hands of stone. He didn't have to cover him, right, Eddie?
Now, remember, the 49ers played in the same division as the Rams did. So we would play against them. So I remember the first preseason game we played against him. He was fast, but his hands was like stone. So you know how defensive backs are. They have no filter, and they're always talking stuff. So after one play, I went up to him, and I say, Ronaldo, guess what? Not only did I beat you in track, I'm kicking your butt in football. he kind of didn't like that, but it wasn't nothing he could do.
Well, let me tell you. We've got
about 3 minutes before we have to wind things down. We could use an entire hour to have this conversation. I guess I got to ask you, an accomplished hurdler in his own. He's not here to defend himself. Who am I picking in a race? You or Barry in the hurdles?
Right now?
No, not right now. Back in the day, right now. Yeah, I wouldn't put the hurdles in front of you guys right now. And I take my money's on you. He's got that golfer body now.
Well, I was a little faster than Barry, so I'm going to put my money on myself. Also, before I leave, guys, I want you guys to know what I'm actually doing now is I have a sports marketing company called CEC, and what my company does is we manage professional athletes in all sports across the country doing their autograph sessions, speaking engagements, personal appearances, and those types of things, too. So as a matter of fact, I'll be coming down to the Tampa area working with Barry and the alumni to start doing events in the greater Tampa Bay area. So we're looking for you guys, once we do things, to come out and support us.
I'll be promoting you as well, as I said, a member of the NFL alumni from a media perspective. I'll be helping you guys. But, Chris, it was great for you to take a few moments to talk to your old buddy. I always enjoy your perspective. We didn't have enough time. We'll take a half hour next time. We'll have Barry here, and we'll go down memory lane and have some laughs. How's that sound, fellas?
That sounds great.
And listen, be sure to get me some of those Tampa Bay Rays tickets when I come down, and a free meal at Fergie's.
I'm waiting for you, brother. The day you walk in the door, you'll get both. How about that?
That's great. Hey, guys, you guys have a great time. It was nice chatting with you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Eddie, you take care, okay?
Okay, take care. I'll reach out to you this week. We need to get together when you get back from Maine, all right?
All right, sir. Take care.
All right. There's a couple legends there, guys. And I love the stories of them practicing against each other. And talk about what an era. The first blacks to play at Florida State, and then he goes on to have a tremendous career in the NFL. But they had a lot of obstacles against him back in those days.
At that era, I mean, you look at it now. I mean, it's definitely hard for a lot of players to get into that. But then looking at that area, there was a whole much more stacked on them. So I respect them 100%.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So Ben, what do you got on the agenda today?
Not much on the agenda today. Got to go home, help take care of the grandma.
A little nappy?
Yeah, a little nap. My mom and my Nana, the 97-year-old one, went back up to Cleveland, Ohio, back up there.
Back to Guardian Country in the Browns.
Oh, yep. Well, still Indian Country to them most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And Bradley, we'll talk after the show. We got a lot of things we're going to be launching on the Prep Connection. So, for Rowdy Soccer, Jim Hart, Dave Wilson, of course, Kip Engel, that was a nice conversation. Brad Richardson, Eddie McMillan, and Barry Smith, had Chris Griffin subbing for him. Joe Bedrow and Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.